Good afternoon. It's 1:08 here on WWLAMFM.com and always live on the free Odyssey app. I'm your guest host, Ian Hoke. As you know, Scoot went back to Portland over the weekend. He is flying back today. And he usually gets in pretty late from that Portland trip, you know, like 11 o'clock or something. So he's going to take Tuesday off as well. We'll expect to see him back at work on Wednesday. But until then, I'm going to be sitting here in the big chair behind the microphone. Coleman's in the jar on the ones and twos. We'll be talking to him in just a minute. I want to thank you for joining us. It's a very, very busy day. There is a lot to discuss. Like many of you, I grimaced my way through the Saints-Chargers game yesterday. And this is a bad position to be in for someone who's in talk radio, but I'm kind of like out of stuff to say about the Saints. I don't really know what to say about it anymore. It's kind of veered into a place that I don't feel like I have anything that terribly intelligent or insightful to add to it. I'll just say I'm with you. Very disappointing. Feels bad. You've heard me say on the show in the past that I'm the kind of fan that I just like to watch them play. I like to go sit with my friends and drink a couple cold ones and have some chicken wings and watch the Saints and cheer for the Saints, win or lose. And I love it when they win, but I don't, you know, start crying into my beer when they lose. Because, you know, I'm there to cheer. I'm there to be part of the fandom and experience the excitement of watching the game. And that's been easy to do in years past, and this year it's not feeling quite so easy. Many times during that game where I just kind of checked out. I was like, I'm not really watching this anymore. Not really paying very close attention to the game. It's hard to watch. It's hard to see this go down. And, you know, we're all in it together. LSU and the Pelicans both also lost over the weekend. So, yeah, it's kind of a whack Monday. But we'll do our best to keep you kind of entertained and informed as we go throughout the show today. In kind of reverse order, what we're going to talk about today. In the 3 o'clock hour, the world's forests absorbed almost no carbon dioxide last year. Yeah, you heard that right. Forests are supposed to be absorbing carbon dioxide all the time. You know, you always hear about how the Amazon and the rainforests in Southeast Asia and Africa, they're the Earth's lungs. You've also got the sort of boreal forests in Siberia and Scandinavia and Canada. Scientists are saying now that all those forests absorbed almost no carbon dioxide last year. And this is really freaking people out. This is really scaring the pants off some Earth system scientists who look at this and they think this is jet fuel for global heating. And it's going to possibly lead to widespread ecosystem collapse. And soon, like 5 or 10 years. Particularly around the equator. You know, if you're in the global north, North America, Europe, Canada, maybe you're okay. But for countries and peoples and civilizations in the global south, might be kind of a different situation there. I read a lot about this over the weekend, and I actually, thankfully, I found some articles by Earth system scientists and climate scientists that pointed to the same article that I read and said, you know, it's a good article. They bring up some good points. They're highlighting some really important things here. But, you know, just like I've been saying a lot lately, let's zoom out. Let's zoom out and see the whole picture and connect the dots. And some of these folks that I read their work over the weekend said, this is alarming, but it's also not a reason to smash the glass and panic and hit the alarm. This is nothing that's really more alarming about our changing climate than anything we've been talking about for the last couple of decades. So I really wanted to get a local expert, somebody we know and trust here on WWL. We're going to speak with climatologist Barry Keim. You know Mr. Keim, Dr. Keim, rather. He'll be with us at 3:25, and we'll figure out if this climate report is really as bad as it sounds. In the 2 o'clock hour, I got something a little fun for you. We're going to talk to author and humorist Chris Champagne about his latest book. If you think that you know all the odd and unusual landmarks and historical sites around Louisiana, maybe you don't. Mr. Champagne's book is called Secret Louisiana, An Unusual Guide, and it's your guide to fascinating parts of our history and geography that might surprise you. And it's a you know, you've seen little guidebooks like this before. It's kind of skinny. It fits in your pocket, but it's full of really interesting information and really nice full-color photos. It's all broken down It's broken down the state of Louisiana into the, you know, a couple different sections geographically, so you can kind of look at all the interesting and unusual oddities in Southeast Louisiana or Northwest Louisiana. So that Secret Louisiana, an unusual guide. We'll be speaking to the author Chris Champagne at 2:10. Right after that, we'll get a look at some domestic political headlines in the 2:10 News Bomb. A lot to cover there. You already know what the kind of main thrust of that is going to be after Donald Trump's big rally at Madison Square Garden. Wow, with just a week to go, that's his closing message, huh? Wow. Interesting. And I can already hear people saying, oh, it's just a joke. Oh, he's just a comedian. Oh, it doesn't matter. I would posit that it does matter. And you know why I know it matters? Because the campaign apologized, basically. They didn't say we're sorry, but they said, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not what Donald Trump thinks. This is not the official position of the Donald Trump campaign. They never do that. They never do that. There's all kind of unusual characters that have been stumping for Donald Trump over the last, you know, year. And fairly often they say some stuff that kind of makes you scratch your head and wonder, God, why this is the guy that you want on stage introducing your nominee? Okay, it's a curious choice. And then those people go out there and they say some really weird stuff. And the campaign never acknowledges that. They just kind of keep chugging along. But that's what's different about this incident. You heard in the 1 o'clock news there, the campaign spokesman has said, oh, this does not represent the views of Donald Trump. So I think I'm not going to pretend that there's going to be any electoral consequence for this. I don't see why that would change now. You know, this has been the situation for 9 years. Nothing really moves the needle when it comes to this kind of thing, but we'll see. We'll talk about it. In a sort of more joyful time to talk, we are going to be joined this hour by Julia Delois, who's the director of Raising Hell Events, the city's number one producer of Taylor Swift-related events. Julia Delois went to the concert on Friday night and also was holding down some events, some Taylor Swift-related events at House of Blues all weekend. So she got to interface with a lot of Taylor Swift fans, and she got to actually go see the concert. And so she'll give us kind of her take about how the fandom has changed over the years and what the Swifties were like in their dealings with, you know, service industry and retail people. But this hour, I really also want to hear from you. You, sir, listening now, if you went to that concert with your daughter or your wife or your significant other, what did you think? Were you dragged there or were you excited to go there? I saw a lot of men walking around in the French Quarter and CBD in the last couple days that looked enthusiastic about being there with their wives and daughters and girlfriends. They're wearing Taylor Swift merchandise and they got the friendship bracelets on. So I think, you know, that's a sort of prevailing wisdom might be that this is an event, a concert that only appeals to, you know, tween girls. But I don't think that that's where it is anymore. I mean, we're almost into the you know, this is about a year and a half of this phenomenon of the Eras Tour. It's been going on since, I think, March of 2023. And I kind of think that the demographics about who's going to these concerts is changing. So I'll talk to Julie a bit about that. But I also would love to hear from you if you're in the downtown service industry or tourism or retail. If you work in a little shop or you work in a restaurant or you're a bartender, what did you think? How did this go for you? Did you make bank? Were you so busy? Did you get tipped well? Were they pleasant to deal with? I know there's a lot of events that come to town that bring all sorts of different kinds of crowds. I'm curious how you think the Swifties measure up. I would love to speak to somebody's son or daughter. This is a great time for us to hear from some very young people in our audience. We know you're listening. We know your parents are listening. So if you want to give me a call and tell me what you thought about the Taylor Swift concert, we'll get you on the air right away. That sounds pretty good, right? Hi, Coleman. Good afternoon. Coleman is in the jar. Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on, guy?
I'm doing real good. Listen, something pretty interesting happened on Friday. We had kind of a snafu in the schedule for the people that do the traffic reports. So Dave Cohen, who, you know, gets here at, I don't know, like 3:45,
yes.
I think, maybe 4 o'clock some days, to do his show at 5 a.m. He had to do the afternoon traffic, which meant that he had to be here until 6:30 when we do our last traffic report. You would think a normal human being would feel kind of fussy about this, you know, being not only awake, but at work, working for like, what is that, 12 or 13 hours or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Dave Cohen, we know, is he's more machine now than man. He's hardcore. He's never bothered by kind of anything. He gets pulled in to cover people's shifts all the time. And he does so many different things. He's kind of a renaissance man up here. Well, he ended up doing the traffic reports on Friday afternoon, which I can't recall a time that I've ever heard Dave Cohen doing afternoon traffic. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but in the 18 years that I've worked here, I can't remember it. But I want you to play this cut that I pulled out for you, because Dave Cohen, I think, did something pretty clever here. And he took a moment to kind of show us how creative he can be. And he kind of zhuzhed up his traffic reports with these very specific Taylor Swift references, which, you know, I'm in the back, you know, kind of debriefing after the show on Friday and talking to Diane and getting everything ready for the weekend. And I keep hearing these traffic reports come over the speaker. I'm howling. I'm dying laughing at Dave Cohen's afternoon traffic from Friday. So here it is. Coleman, let her rip.
From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Dave Cohen. Good luck finding a blank space in the traffic jams we're seeing in the CBD and Warehouse District with all the Taylor Swift fans. From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Dave Cohen. Traffic is not moving swiftly in and around the CBD and Warehouse District with a flood of Taylor Swift fans. From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Dave Cohen. May feel like you're never, ever, ever going anywhere on surface streets downtown and in the Warehouse District with heavy Taylor Swift fan traffic. From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Dave Cohen. Better bring your patience if you're heading downtown. It may not take a fortnight, but you will be finding very heavy delays heading into the CBD from all directions and on surface streets thanks to the Taylor Swift fan traffic. From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Dave Cohen. Seeing heavy traffic in the downtown area ahead of the Taylor Swift concert, better get ready for it. Swifties in the CBD and Warehouse District have traffic barely moving. From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Dave Cohen. Traffic is jammed up in all directions heading into and around downtown New Orleans, so if your end game is getting into the CBD, expect delays. From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Dave Cohen. It's not your karma. Everyone is stuck in traffic now trying to get into downtown New Orleans. Bravo. With all the Taylor Swift fans in town for tonight's concert. From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Dave Cohen. I don't know about cruel summer, but the traffic is cruel right now. Wow. If you're trying to get into downtown New Orleans with all the Taylor Swift traffic. From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Dave Cohen. It's no love story with the traffic downtown with all the Taylor Swift fans and slow moving on surface streets to get here.
You know what?
What?
I know. I think, does Dave have like a degree in journalism of some sort?
Yeah, I think Dave went to J school.
So it makes me wonder, did he do research to gather these references, or is he really just an underground Swift and it came natural to him?
Dude, I don't know. I honestly don't know how to answer that question, because Dave will surprise you with some of the stuff that he knows about. I mean, Dave knows all about, you know, law and justice. He knows about how bills get paid. He knows about taxes. He knows about good governments. But then also, like, he knows a lot of pop culture stuff. Like, he's no dummy.
Oh no, I've noticed he's made my intelligence feel very minuscule in private conversations at times. Like, oh well, I wish I was that smart every now and then.
Yeah,
he's a
for
very
sure.
intelligent dude.
Yeah, we'll just praise Dave Cohen for his excellent work with that on Friday. Gosh, what now? Okay, look, we better step away here. Thank you so much, Coleman. Well, I'm glad to be with you today. If at any time today you want to react to something you've heard me say or one of my guests say, or you want to just get in on the action, the way to do it is the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. You can call me anytime, 504-260-1870. I really do try to get to calls as quickly as I can. I'll try not to make you wait very long at all if I can help it. If you don't feel like calling and you want to shoot me a text, that's cool. 504-260-1870 is the same number. I will read 100% of the texts that you send in today, every single one. I'll reply to as many as I can, and the very best ones I'll read on the air. So make them count. I'm your guest host, Ian Hoke. Thank you very much for being with us today. We'll be running and gunning all the way up until 4 o'clock. Get in on this action with me. We'll be right back after this. That's I Can Do It With a Broken Heart by Taylor Swift off her latest album, The Tortured Poets Department, the latest addition to her library of albums. I like this one. This song specifically is about her ability to keep going on this tour and be the world's kind of most popular entertainer at any given moment while still going through, you know, personal things at home. She's exhausted. She's tired. She's breaking up with people, breaking up with a boyfriend. But here's the message. Joining me on the line right now is Julia Delois. Julia is the creative director of Raising Hell Events, the city's number one producer of Taylor Swift-related events. Julia, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Ian.
I understand that you got a last-minute ticket on Friday night. Tell us about the show.
I did. I was lucky enough to get the last-minute ticket. I was just kind of watching those ticket prices like a lot of other people, and a friend kind of pulled the trigger for me, for both of us, in a way that I might not have pulled the trigger for myself, but it was a magical show. So can't complain. Loved every moment. It was totally dazzling.
I am not going to ask you what you spent on it, but I know it was probably a significant amount of money. But, you know, you and I know that last time we spoke, I think, was that just last fall? Yeah, it was right when Taylor Swift was the, what do you call it, the Time Magazine Person of the Year.
Yeah, December or so.
Yeah, you had already, seen the Eras Tour twice before, but you had to go see it a third time. You're a super fan.
Well, you know, it's almost 2 years later. This woman is insane. And like you said, she's just added an album just a few months ago. So there was a whole new section of the tour that I hadn't seen before. And yeah, very, very lucky to get to go so many times. And it was really fascinating to go a few times so far apart, because the times that I went were really close to the beginning of the tour.
And tell us a little bit about what you did as creative director of Raising Hell Events for the Swifties that were all in town over the weekend. What was your task here?
Sure. So a lot of this year, kind of since the beginning of the year, I definitely spent a lot of time kind of doing like some low impact consulting for a bunch of businesses that were looking to do Taylor programming and getting their ducks in a row early. And then this weekend, I was really on the ground, most of the weekend at House of Blues. So they had a whole weekend of programming there with the Eras Tour Museum, like their photo album, the photo op set up, and the marketplace where all these little vendors are, you know, you can go get glammed up and browse the vendors. We did a comedy roast. We did a drag burlesque brunch. So it was a poppin' weekend over at House of Blues.
Wow. Okay. So, and you have seen now the sort of change, demographically speaking, about who's going to these Taylor Swift events. Tell us about your observations there.
Yeah. So, I mean, the one thing I really could not stop observing and thinking about this weekend, it's really still sticking with me. I really saw a narrative arc for the men of the Eras Tour between like the beginning of the tour and what I saw around town this weekend. How to explain that? I think it used to be that there was more of like a singular or prescribed way in the beginning for men to like sort of interact with the Eras Tour or interact with this space, this fandom. And I was just kind of endlessly delighted all weekend long by the wider variety of the type of men I saw going. They didn't look like they were like boyfriends being reluctantly dragged. Mm-hmm. There were dads, you know, just it's so good natured. There were a lot more ways to interact with the Eras Tour world. And that made me think that perhaps that points to some more authenticity maybe, and just kind of like doing so with more levity, without kind of like needing to dump all over it at the same time,
yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah.
I saw a lot of
guys walking around wearing t-shirts, and it didn't seem like they had been like their wives and daughters did not hold them down and force them to wear those t-shirts. You know, I think they wanted to be a part of it. I think that there would have to been just the worst FOMO. The worst fear of missing out. You know, if you're here with your family or your friends, and even if you're not a huge Taylor Swift fan, like fake it so that you can at least enjoy
fake
the vibe.
It, that you make it.
Exactly.
So I did. Exactly.
Yeah,
you can do it with a broken heart too. Yeah.
You can do it with a broken heart, Dad.
You can do it with a busted wallet. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, the t-shirts they're wearing, they're like, you know, the cute t-shirts that are like, it's me. Hi, I'm the dad. It's me. That's very charming.
Yeah.
They have the like, spending a lot of money at the moment. I think that's very funny. But then also, you know, they're also like wearing shirt, just like, you know, this is like the Speak Now album shirt, straight up, you know, like,
yeah.
It seemed to be a little bit less like ironic and just a little more like taking part. It felt like they were just like really willing to kind of come into the space and have some fun and be medium or low level fans and just have fun with it.
Okay, great. So we know about the events that you had at House of Blues. There was stuff all over this city. A lot of people, I'm sure, got a chance to visit it or at least see what was going on in there. But I want to know a little bit about, for people who weren't there, can you kind of just describe the atmosphere of the concert inside the Superdome? I mean, I have seen so many, you know, clips on Instagram and TikTok of people just going nuts in there. I can only imagine, like, I've seen concerts, I've been to exciting football games, and it's hard for me to imagine that any of the exciting, you know, concert events or sport events that I've ever been to could hold a candle to the sort of level of electric energy that there is at this Taylor Swift concert. Tell us about that.
Yeah, everyone is just giddy. Like, it really does feel... it feels culty. I'll just say it feels culty. Sure. And a lot of people will tell me, like, I'm kind of, you know, I'm diehard. I really am diehard. But a lot of people have said, like, you're both the craziest Swiftie I know and also the chillest Swiftie I know. And I think that's because I'm, like, willing to speak with a little bit of self-awareness about just how nuts it is. But it feels crazy in there. Like, everyone is just, like, walking around giddy. Like, you can't stop looking at each other. Everyone is the most, like, beautiful, cutest, prettiest, adorable girl you've ever seen in your life. They've got the outfits. Everyone is just so happy. They're being kind to each other. There's no, like, I don't know, there's no rowdiness or animosity. Everyone is just, like, it's like we're all, it's like we're all there together. Like, we're all seeing this show together. Yeah, it's wild. It really is so silly and crazy.
I had a friend that I was hanging out with on Saturday morning, and he was asking me, you know, what do you think the appeal is here? And I said, brother, imagine that your favorite band is everybody's favorite band. Like, your favorite band right now is also the band that's on top of the world. The type of band that can command, you know, $1,200, $1,300, $1,500 tickets. Not that that's Taylor Swift's fault that the tickets are that much, but you take my point. And imagine then that, you know, all of you get together and all of you know every single word to every single song. And at the same time, the band has kind of gone above and beyond just doing a good performance of their songs, but they're integrating all kind of new production techniques and technology to really bring people together and make this event bigger than the sum of its parts. And I said all that to my friend, and he said, yeah, that sounds okay. I think I get it now. Do you think I kind of nailed it there? Is that right?
100%. And on top of that, I would just add, like, also imagine that was, like, maybe your favorite band or artist when you were as young as 15 or 16 years old. Think about, like, those formative artists to you when you were growing up, discovering music, being a young person, you know, identifying with an artist's writing. And imagine that artist is not only, like, still around, still in the game today, but, like, has risen to the top, right? So yeah, and that's something I really appreciate and, like, find valuable about being such a fangirl of this massively mainstream thing, not just because, like, you know, everyone else is a Swiftie necessarily, but I really find it valuable. Like, it's a bridge to conversation with absolutely anyone that I come into contact with. And I really enjoy talking to people. I consider myself a pretty flexible conversationalist. So if I meet someone who, like, doesn't, you know, someone who's not the hugest fan, like, they have something to say about Taylor Swift, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they, you know, then they're telling me about their niece who is a fan, or then I ask them who their favorite artist is and they light up talking about that. So it's like, yeah, everyone has an opinion on my favorite thing. And if it doesn't agree with my opinion, I can at least use it as, like, a conversational bridge to connect with people. It's amazing.
That is amazing. And what a cool thing to be able to do, you know, to say, hey, even if you're not enthusiastic about my thing, we can use that as a jumping off point to talk about something that you're enthusiastic about. And then you know, maybe made a new friend. Julia, I want to ask you about the future of Taylor Swift concerts, because this is a thing that I found myself asking. You know, I went to go see Green Day in Dallas just a little while ago, and Green Day's concert in Dallas was a sort of retrospective where it's the 30th anniversary of Dookie. It's the 20th anniversary of American Idiot. So they're playing both of these albums cover to cover, and the sort of impact of that in terms of striking people in their feelings, like the nostalgic effect of going to listen to both of those albums performed live back to back, is what made that Green Day tour possible. I think, you know, they put out a new album, what was it, last January. And if they're only going on tour, you know, playing the new music from that new album, there is no way, no way on God's green earth they are selling out 30 stadiums and going on this big tour. I wonder, you know, both for the future of Green Day and now for Taylor Swift. So you have these kind of like, it's in a way, Green Day did their own kind of Tiny Eras tour with just those two albums, right? Taylor Swift is hitting up, you know, all 10 or 11 albums, whatever she has. How does Taylor Swift go back to touring at this level without that sort of nostalgia factor where everybody understands she's going to play songs from the last, you know, 25 years or whatever it is, however long she's been making music? What is the future of the Taylor Swift concert if she's just touring on the power of one album?
God, that feels like the bazillion-dollar question. It's like you said, you're right. Like, nostalgia is selling right now. And for the concert industry, for tour marketing, we're seeing so much, like, so many more, like, double, triple billed, like, you know, maybe Green Day is going to play with Blink 182 or whatever. They're stacking, like, three, four acts on the same bill. And obviously, Taylor doesn't have to do that anytime soon. And I don't know. I kind of think, at least for the foreseeable future, I think she's probably, we know that she's writing new music, actually. Again, this woman is insane. I think she's probably going to focus for a while on, well, you know, I think she might lock it down with Trav. We might see her, you know, get hitched, start a family, all that stuff. And I think alongside that, maybe we'll see her, like, lean more into writing, directing, producing for other artists. But I don't think she'll be gone from the tour industry, from the tour circuit forever. So I don't know. How will she come back? I don't know. I mean, she could start over. She could do anything. I don't know. I don't know. This woman keeps us guessing.
Yeah. Do you, I mean, I don't think that any artist at this stage in their career could go back to touring on the strength of just their new album. Where they're here, you know, I'm going to be on stage for 2 hours, and for an hour and a half of that, I'm going to be playing new music that people aren't totally familiar with, and the other 30 minutes, I'm going to be playing like the hits. I don't. That doesn't seem like a thing that she's going to do.
I don't think so. I mean, I was just House of Blues had Sixpence None the Richer in town the other week, and that was kind of like jogging. I was like, yeah, what are they up to now? I was looking at their tour and their discography on Spotify, and they have, like, it's like this tour is like, it's called like 30 years of Sixpence None the Richer or something like that. So they're all doing these like retrospectives, you know, even these small time, it's silly.
Really interesting. Yeah. I think that the nostalgia is such a powerful thing, and as our kind of world keeps getting faster and faster, and the things that we loved about our past selves and our childhood seems to be both at once farther away, but also more important than ever. And so I think more artists are going to end up doing this just because that's what people want. They're not really totally interested in coming out to hear you perform your new music. They're coming out to feel the way they felt when they loved you when they were teenagers.
And I wonder if that's like something that maybe, you know, men or dads or something are kind of catching on to, this feeling of like nostalgia. Like, it really felt like, it felt a little bit like Disney World, right? Like, it's like, you know, your parents taking your kids to Disney World. You are having a good time. You also wouldn't choose to do it without your kids, probably, you know? But, like, I wonder if just that regression to a little bit of childhood whimsy and delight is somehow permeating people who may not have been in on it before.
Good stuff. Julia, we have to stop here, but I did want to give you a chance just to tell us a little bit more about Raising Hell Events. You said you do a, you know, adult, I'm sorry, not adult, event consultation. You help people, you know, activate their stores and their bars and their restaurants in a ways that maybe the people who are actually running the bars and stores and restaurants, it's difficult for them to do. And that's where you step in. Tell us about that part of your business.
Yeah, Raising Hell, I often do events. It works a couple different ways. I do events where I kind of ideate and come up with a concept and kind of use my creative brain to produce my own ideas. Or, you know, a bar or venue will bring me in to think about creative programming that will work for their business. I've done some private event planning, but really the creative, if you're looking for creative programming, I think that's where Raising Hell really shines. I don't like to do stuff that anybody else has done. You know, like I did a lot more than just the friendship bracelet stations. It means something to me to create a special experience. So really experiential events and activations, and often with a pop culture bent or some kind of like niche interest, really lights me up. Yeah.
Word. You can find Julia and Raising Hell Events, Raising Hell Events on Instagram. Anything else you want us to hear before we let you go, Julia?
No, thank y'all so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. There goes Julia, and thank you so much for that. When we come back, we'll get to some of your texts and phone calls. I see Gregory and Metairie is here, who wants to talk about the Taylor Swift effect. Can't wait to hear that. There's room for you, too. It's 504-260-1870. Again, I would really love to hear from men who went to the concert. I would really love to hear from kids, teenagers who went to the concert. Get them lined up. I'll try and get them in and out of here as quickly as possible. That's 504-260-1870. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot. Be right back after this. This is Ready For It. This is from Reputation, which is one. I've been learning a lot more about this. So this is the Taylor Swift album where She had kind of blown up with, you know, 1989 and Shake It Off and kind of all the sort of more poppy stuff. And then she kind of took this hard turn into like this more electro pop, like R&B music, which just goes to show you she is able to do that. She is able to kind of swing from one genre to the next, not only because she's a really skilled musician, but because she's earned the trust of her audience. She's earned the trust of her fans. They'll kind of follow her anywhere she goes. I know a lot of artists that would love to have that amount of flexibility. You know, Beyonce's another great example of somebody who's just, you know, so virtuosic at not only just creating music that they enjoy making, but they also know will kind of broaden the horizons for their fans a little bit. And I think a lot of artists are going to find themselves doing that in the future. You got to evolve or you're going to die. Let's go to Greg in Metairie on line one. What's going on, Big G?
Hey. Ian, what a weekend. Let me tell you.
Dude, it's crazy.
What I tell you. I can't believe that you fit in Dookie in your little interview with her, which is cool. I wish you had been here 30 years ago in 1994 when they did their tour. And at Tip of Tina's of all
They were
places.
At Tips. I know. That's crazy, man. The idea that you could see Green Day at Tip of Tina's, that bakes my noodle, man. That's crazy.
You know how many bands played there back in the day before the House of Blues
Lots.
Opened? And I did stop at the House of Blues. Anyway, that was the place. I mean, the Cranberries, Peter Murphy, Jesus, Nine Inch Nails, and just a wonderful venue. Boy, oh boy, I like that girl you had on. She's good.
Yeah, she's smart, huh?
Okay, my weekend started Thursday. I had to pick up my ex-wife and my daughter from the airport because I had bought the tickets well in a year in advance for this thing. I went Saturday night, and that woman you had on, the nice lady, I forgot her name, but anyway.
Julia.
Giddy. Giddy doesn't even, yeah, I was very giddy. And I had an old I didn't know what to wear, so I had a T-shirt that I caught at a St. Patrick's Day parade that just said Lucky on it with the old ripped-up tiles, you know, you see on the streets in New Orleans.
Sure.
And I just put, I'm a Lucky, and I put it on the bottom, Dad.
Gregory, that's awesome, man. That's really, I'm charmed. That's a great story. If I had to just guess at which sort of our frequent callers would have gone to the Taylor Swift concert, I don't know if I would have picked you first, man. But there you were. You were there for your ex-wife and your daughter, huh?
No, I had so much fun. It was transforming. It was giddy. And then wait, hold on. They I brought them to the airport this morning because they had to fly back to L.A. because they both live in L.A. Unfortunately, Sunday along Magazine Street, my girlfriend, I went with my girlfriend, myself, my ex-wife, and my daughter. Isn't that funny?
Nice. That's great,
that's
man.
Kind of, that's kind of a hoot. But that's you should have seen Gregory, magazines.
That says more about you than it does about them, man. I think.
Yeah, well, I actually am a nice guy, despite what you and Scoot think.
No,
you should have seen Magazine Street all weekend.
What, like,
I mean,
the uptown
all the
part?
Shops,
all the shops,
the
yeah.
People dressed up with friendship bracelets and, man, we ate at the, on Friday night, we went to Le Petit Grocery to have dinner, you know,
yeah.
I was gonna splurge. And, well, anyway, and we sat outside, you know, right? I mean, you know Magazine Street, don't you?
Sure.
It was playing out live. It was wonderful. It was like you were in another world. And talk about giddy. I was giddy the whole weekend, and I was really sad today when I had to bring them back to the airport. So
yeah,
I'm
sure.
Say about that.
You were a good dad and a good ex-husband in that moment, Gregory. I'm so glad to hear that you went to the concert.
My ex-wife and I. No, we really are.
Yeah, I mean, if she's down to go to the concert with you and your current girlfriend and your daughter together, I mean, I just think that's so wholesome.
It wasn't the first time that they've been to town with me and my current girlfriend, you know, but it's just, I just want to just say how wonderful it was to be in New Orleans. That, and you see, what we did is we just took the Magazine Street bus, got up at Porges, and walked up to the dome.
Yeah, man.
No problem.
Yeah, the
11. It was funny what you did with that traffic report with
Cohen.
David Cohen.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah,
I
might play that again later for folks who didn't get a chance to hear it. Gregory, I did want to ask you one more thing. So you went to the concert, but like, how familiar with
Saturday
you?
Saturday night.
How familiar were you at that point with Taylor Swift's music? Were there like songs that you had heard before that you liked, or were you just going in totally blind?
I've been following her since she was country. I saw her in 2008 at the
Family Gras.
Family Gras,
yeah.
in the Metairie. She was amazing then, and I knew. Hey, and then I kept hearing her on country radio.
Yeah,
but when she really got a little bolder, this woman. Listen, if you saw the show, anybody out there, she's got to be the hardest working girl in show business.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible what she does. And listen, Ian, I wanted to add something.
Sure.
I've been to many concerts in the Superdome over my 62 years. Back in the 70s and early 80s, the Dome used to host anything from the Rolling Stones to the Day of Rock and Roll. And these were wonderful shows. I'm not kidding you. Mm-hmm. And they would sell out, right?
Yeah.
What Taylor Swift did was amazing. No. And the days of rock and roll, from 77 to about 1980, they used to have this everything in the summer, the Day of Rock and Roll at the Superdome. And it would be like seven or eight bands. I'm talking REO Speedway and Van Halen. Ask Scoot. He was probably there.
Oh,
he was
sure
drunk
he was
on
there.
The floor doing cocaine.
No, he was not. No, he wasn't.
He was, too.
I refuse to believe it. We better stop
there,
Gregory.
I know. But anyway, the Superdome has hosted a lot of great concerts over its almost 50 years now. Golly, next year it'll be 50 years old. I can't believe it. I'm getting old, too.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, what Taylor Swift did in there was magical.
I love it. Gregory, thank you so much, man. Great to hear from you today. And again, kudos to you for being such a good dad and a good ex-husband. I see a couple other people stacking up here on the Okunor Jewelers talking text line. Would love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. Coming up at 210, we're going to talk to Chris Champagne about his new book, Secret Louisiana, An Unusual Guide. If you think you know all the weird stuff around Louisiana, all the interesting historical markers and historical sites and landmarks, I bet you don't. So you might want to go pick up a copy of Secret Louisiana. We'll do that and the news bomb after we get the news from Chris Miller, WWL First News, that is. I'm Ian Hilkin for Scoot. BRB. Just a few minutes before we hand it off to WWL First News here, but I got some texts I'm going to tuck in. Here's a text that says, different band from the 1960s drew crowds. Look at the Stones. Grateful Dead and other bands have historically had tribes of fans. Imagine Taylor Swift as old as Stevie Nicks and still drawing huge crowds. Her high business acumen is often not recognized, and she'll be around for a long time. Every generation has their talents, and Swift is this generation's. Man, no lies detected. Texter, thank you so much for that. Here's a text that says, Taylor Swift can always go back to her roots and do some more country music. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't really be surprised to see that happen. You know, if like genre hopping is going to be kind of a more common thing in our culture's pop stars. You know, she's kind of dabbled in this R&B and hip hop a little bit, infusion and some of those albums. So maybe she'll go back to her roots and do some more country music. I know a lot of people who'd appreciate that. Here's a text that says, Swift, who's going? People with money and people who are going into big credit card debt to be in that number. Teenagers don't have the coin, but their parents do. And I know moms and dads who went, and every one of them said totally worth it. They spent thousands of dollars. Quite the phenomenon. I mean,
yeah, that was kind of my plan. My plan was to, once I found out what those tickets were, I wanted to get like one of those Swifty Mills, and maybe they could be my sugar mama. Like, if they got that kind of disposable income.
Absolutely, dude. Why not? It's just easy to keep Coleman happy. Just get him some Jägermeister. Yeah, it's like if you can spend thousands of dollars like that and make that kind of memory for your kid or your daughter, I think most parents that could do that would do that. We'll be right back after the news. Stick around.